Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering the end of Lord of Chaos, Chapter 55, and the epilogue, Doomeyes Wells, and The Answer. Enjoy! Welcome to Season 6, Episode 25, the final episode of Lord of Chaos. For some Doomeyes Wells. Yeah, and this guy's coming up.
Out with one book. What book are we on?
Next, A Crown of Swords is what we're going to be doing next. But right now, we're
book 7. Wow, we're halfway through. How many books are in the series?
There. 14 the main series plus a prequel.
We're at the halfway point.
Yeah, we're at the halfway point.
All right, now's the time for everybody to put in their predictions. How many children will the Wheel Reads have by the time we're done?
Well, I'm done. So it's really
you got to wait until we get to next week to put. No, I'm kidding. We can put it in now. It's a good thing to do.
We might still adopt. How many more years do we have left?
We have three years and a half.
I can tell you in a second.
Yeah. How many kids do we have so far? Alan has like 20.
So our final episode on our current pace will be in March of 2026. So in 4 years.
Oh, yeah. We may adopt by then.
Yeah.
Or three, so years. Can, 3 years. So well, three and some change.
Right now, I'm not counting Meredith's kids, but once we marry, then you got to count those.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're betting on us being married, like I'm 4 plus 2. And so then
for you,
yeah,
and
Alan has Alan? 3.
I have 3
that we know of. He did circumnavigate the world.
Yeah, I have three that I know of. 3 that I know of, and I'm done. Good enough kids.
Well, based on that trajectory, you had 6, he had 3, so maybe I'll be the one to have 2, or maybe I'll 1.
I think as a group, we're good for 2 more. It's either going to be all your 2. Or maybe by then, maybe by then we foster or adopt. I don't know.
All right. So
we're going double digits here. We're gonna be 10 plus.
Yeah, we got some 12ers.
I like that.
We got a 27 in there.
27. Yeah. All right, because I want Skeeter to win. I'm gonna go get that reversal surgery. We're gonna fuse them back together.
We're gonna adopt everyone. Everyone's gonna be adopted. But
we'll pay for Alan's undoing process.
No, I'm good. we got new patrons. We got lots of new patrons.
What? So, how? How did that happen?
Because we did a live recording. Everybody wanted to watch it. So
that's cool. That's true.
Yeah.
They're so all going to drop those next week.
So we got new patrons. Yeah, they probably are. Kevin, Drew, Melissa, Jacob, Jenny, and Brock. Welcome as patrons. And thank you. Jay Renner, Bidiamon, Pythos, Karen, and Holly T for upping their.
All right. Woof. So we can probably afford to get Chris dessert before the show instead of during.
Yeah. When people up their level, like that fires me up. And I love when we get new patrons, but it fires me up a little bit more when people up their level. I don't know why. But that's like,
out with us.
I think it's because they're like, I like them enough. I'm going to help out a little bit. And then they listen more and they go, no, I kind of really like them.
That's like, fun. They're hopeless.
And they stick around. And they stick around like 2 months until we say something offensive, then they delete their pledge.
And I love that too. This is America. This is how we let our voice be heard. Sometimes it's monetarily. Yeah. That's great.
Then where it hurts the most. Yeah. Take away Chris's ice cream.
Yeah. Or my almond joys. Don't take this.
I'm gonna look this up and see how many patrons we've had total ever.
I'm sure we're at our most at the current moment.
Oh yeah, but if you include active plus canceled plus declined, that happens too. Some people leave because they're declined. Let's see. So we have 82 current active.
Wow.
And then about
so at least $82 a month. Wow. We moved up in the world.
And then for 55 that have left.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So on point. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
I take two steps forward. I take two steps back.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, we got another one just now. Craig, thank you. Craig. Shout out to Craig. Yeah.
Craig. This is the Craig episode.
Yeah. So as I'm looking through the statistics. So yeah, thank you, patrons, and thank you all for giving us your support, because it does help with things like buying Chris snacks. I do want to buy you guys new microphones too, even though you guys have good microphones. I want to get the better ones for you guys.
Great mics.
I never washed this one after I put it in my mouth, and it's getting a little rough.
Well, you can hear every bite of ice cream.
So the one I bought for you guys is the one that
your traveling mic.
I my traveling mic. I still have it. It's right here. Doesn't work.
It's good.
But then yeah, it's a great mic. The same one that Talker Ron Riad uses, and that's why I bought it, because they recommended it and they sound great. It's a good mic. And then my in-laws, I had put on my like Amazon wish list like a while ago, like for like Christmas or birthday presents, some of that, a recording microphone. Birthday. And I forgot to take it off. So I already had bought one, but then they bought me this like really nice one. So I use it.
Yeah. He's like, and then what I have can pick me up when I fart too.
I didn't pay for away. So this was not bought by patron money, though. It's not like I bought a mic just for me out of patron money. This was given to me by my in-laws. So
it's okay. You do all the work. Yeah. Had you bought it for yourself, it would have been fine.
Anything I buy for myself, I'm gonna buy for you guys too. So
bye, Meredith. We love you. You didn't blow her a kiss from me, did you?
Oh, and this one's from Chris.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. She says hello.
She's so cute. So,
other news as well. On Saturday,
you can leave it on. Her
voice is so sexy. Sorry, 11.
All right, now he's hitting on you. Chris and I are about to have problems.
I'm a married man.
He keeps tiptoeing up to that line. We're like, she's so nice. She's
cute too. All right. Focus, guys.
All right, I'm focused. Dead. We're back. I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Saturday, December 3rd at 11 p.m. We're going to be live on not this channel, or at least I'm going to be live. You guys aren't. It's a Watt of Fortune. We're doing Watt of Fortune for the Watt Holiday Charity stream.
I do remember that.
So parts of Twatcast are going to be contestants along with Delusions of Grendel. So
yay.
That's gonna be fun. So that's gonna be a Malkier Talks stream. So
very cool.
So that's Saturday night.
Yeah, we have 25 people watching this. I think that's the most we've ever had in a day.
I feel like this chapter is important to some people.
It's a few people.
The title of this chapter has been whispered to me by random people passing at JordanCon a million times. So like, yeah, I feel like. Who said that? Who said that?
I call it the pimple popping chapter.
The pimple popping chapter. Okay. Uh-huh.
I remember we ran into one guy dressed up as Ashaman.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, oh, you don't know him yet, but don't worry about it. Cool costume, right? And he turns and looks at me and goes, you don't know me yet, but you will. Like, and it was just so intense the way he delivered it. I was like, I can't wait. It's
gone. And it came. That's what she said.
Oh, everybody did. The wolves came. We all came.
Brent said it was this chapter that helped him finish.
Okay.
The series, yeah. That is.
I had this played in the background to finish one.
But she just finished yesterday. Congratulations on finishing the series. That's awesome. Woo. Nice. You guys will get there eventually.
Two kids later.
That's the plan. All right. So you guys ready to jump right in?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. The final chapter, besides the epilogue, chapter 55, Doomite's Wells. And we've been with Gawain.
So in my personal life,
Oh yeah, personal. I'm so excited to get this chapter. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had a kid.
Water and everything. I'm about to leave.
Yeah, just, okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Personal life. Yeah, I had my daughter's third birthday party. That was fun. Yeah, birthday
party. Major, major event. Just slightly.
It was. We had a ton of people over. It was a lot of fun. Just more so catching up with friends and watching the kids go crazy because you had a bounce house. And if you put a ton of kids in bounce houses, it is fun.
Phenomenal. All right. For my personal life, I'm going to quote Jake. And Jake says, "We don't care about anybody's Thanksgiving or anything the last 2 weeks. Let's get to Dumas Wells." Because hey, right, that's where I'm at.
I'm just leaving, so we can jump right in.
All right. I'll be quick, and then I have to like run for 2 seconds. I got to go unlock the door.
Okay, go ahead.
So I let my mom watch the house while we were gone, and she completely let my cats destroy it. And I may have cussed my mother out and told her off, and she may have left the house. No, I don't. You just don't understand. I did apologize for how I said it because it wasn't kind. But I do not apologize for anything that I said.
I feel
because I was absolutely right. And my mother knows how I am, so she should have just known better to begin with. She birthed this and created it. So I mean, quite literally, my slight OCD is all her fault. If you guys saw half of it. Okay. Also, nope, because she told me to do this, so she can wait. Out on Hulu right now is the movie Aftershock, if you haven't seen it yet. So Chanel and her group, you know, she's in health equity, are looking at launching a long-term goal based around the bias in maternal and infant health and mortality rates. So there's a major nationwide discussion on educating medical individuals about this epidemic, and also looking at creating a new curriculum, which is something that she's helping to spearhead. So the movie is specifically based around inequities within the POC, so people of color, but the epidemic is just crazy in general. So take a look if you have a moment. It definitely touches the heart. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong with you. All right, I'll be right back.
Okay, cool.
All right, well, since we have to wait for Chris, I guess I will fill time with life. Are you down with that?
I'm down.
All right.
I get enough of my time.
It's interesting you say that. I'm going to give you an example of what I've been doing the past few days and what I will be doing until I go back to work in a few weeks. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. This is it.
Thank God I have truncate silence as part of my editing, so I can just
no, you gotta edit. You gotta leave a gap there. No, really. All right. So it's weird. I don't have to go back to work until about mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
But they still haven't actually fixed all of the leave issues, so I'm not actually getting paid. So I can't afford to do anything. Like, I have some car repairs to make on all three vehicles we have right now. But mm-hmm. I can't do it because I can't buy the parts. I can't really go anywhere because then I'm just burning gas. So I've been sitting around watching World Cup
and House football. Dragon. You watch House of Dragon?
You're gonna be mad at me. I still can't figure out how to log in.
Okay. Did you read Mistborn Era 2?
No.
All right. So it wasn't her. It was the cat.
You have things you can do.
I've been sitting around doing nothing.
Okay. Cool.
It wasn't her. It was the cat, but she will be here. So I did unlock the door. So now I'm not a horrible husband.
Okay, cool. So, all right. So chapter 55, do my Wells. All right. Start with Gawain, our favorite
you
character.
See the way he said, do my Wells. Like, it's an unimportant. I mean, the title really is unimportant, though. Like,
Well, I had questions for Chris because I didn't catch anything. They pointed out the Wells, blah, blah, blah. Have we heard anything about in any prophecy that relates to this battle? Is there anything significant? Like, nothing jumped out to me that we heard before. We knew this was coming the whole book, kind of. There was a great buildup to it.
But, we hoped right. For sure.
Yeah, but no prophecy or anything significant
no.
You think of? Okay.
I think this just is his way of saying, like, here we are in an average town with average things happening.
Yeah.
And it's about to go down.
Yeah, it is.
Red alert.
And I think it's... And I might be wrong, but I'll have to look it up. I think Nablus actually does a video where he talks about, like, and graphically shows, like, the troop formations and how it actually...
With all those numbers.
Work. Yeah, with all the numbers.
That'd be great to be able to see in here.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy. Like, if we say one little dot counts for, you know, 100 people, you put five dots surrounded by, like, 5 million dots. Yeah. That's what we have here.
It's very much a 300 situation, you know, 300 Spartans versus the Persian army. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then they pop popcorn.
Yeah. We'll get there. So Gawain, all right. So even though we know we're at the end of the book and we're hoping for action, we feel like it's coming up. Jordan gives us a little bit of scene setting of where we're at, and he does it through Gawain. They're marching through this area. Does he mention the wells in Gawain's point of view?
Oh, he does.
I think so. Yeah, he says, the younglings are at Duma's.
That's the only way we know we're
rolling terrain with its scattered bunches of trees was just flat enough to make you think you could see long ways, when in truth, some of those occasional long ridges and low hills were not quite so low as they seemed. The wind was gusting, waves of dust today, and the dust could hide a lot. Duma's wells lay just off the road to his right. Three stone wells and a small corpse the water barrels could stand topping, and it was at least 4 days to the next shore of water. Mm-hmm. So essentially, these wells had dried up, you know.
And people have moved on. Yeah.
People have moved on. I mean, what we're getting is this scene of desolation and destitute, and we're kind of getting the severity of what's happening with the drought and the lack of rain. And yeah. How it's just driving people to leave their homes and to leave what they know. And it's just showing the change here that's being created by a little bit of the Dark One kind of seeping through his, like, you know, farts of evil.
Yeah. The Bublés. I like knowing, I mean, we knew a battle was coming. Just y'all at least spoiled that much, right? We knew this was about to go down. And in this brief little description, like, he lets us know how the terrain itself is just very deceptive. Like, depth perception is hard. Like, are we looking at a ridge? I think Perrin gets into it in a little bit, like, hard to see. Okay. That's the ridge line there. No, that's just another grouping of trees. So it's hard to see stuff coming.
If you've ever been to like deserts, there are a lot like in dune deserts where there's dunes. It's a lot like this, where like it looks like just all sand and looks all flat, but then there's dips and people can just pop out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. So the scene is set.
And Gawain's just sitting there thinking about his promise he made to Egwene that he will not harm Rand. But he even thinks, he says, well, I'm not going to harm him, but I'm not going to help him either. Something happened. So
that's fair considering where he's at. I wasn't mad at that.
No, not at all. How could you be? He thinks his mom's dead.
Right. We know more than him, but from what he thinks he knows, that's actually a pretty solid promise.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them probably wants to harm Rand. Yeah. So that's cool of him.
And he thinks on men too. You know, thinks that she didn't deserve to be kidnapped, and you know, might be willing to help her, but at the same time doesn't want to break away from the Aes Sedai that he's kind of sworn to helping at this point with the transfer.
All right. So this is where I get mixed up. All right. You guys, when I joked about Alan being Gawain, you were like, oh gosh, no, oh, blah, blah. Like he's the worst character ever in the books. And maybe he does more later on to deserve that. But as of right now, I don't think so. He's had good reason to do everything he's done so far, even though we might not have liked it. Even in this situation, like, he found out last second that Rand was there, right? He didn't know the whole time. And he even kind of feels bad about the way Rand's being treated. He's like, I don't know if I signed up for this shit. And then Min, he's like, all right, at the very least, I got to do something to help Min. So even if this went down a totally different way, he might not have gone to help Rand, but he definitely would have done something to get Min out of there.
Right.
So Gawain was about to make his break from these Aes Sedai anyways.
Right. True. And the Aes Sedai, as we know from the previous chapter, had a whole pact with the Shido to kill Gawain and all his people too. So doesn't even know that he's being betrayed at this point.
But he has this sense, like, he knows something's up, especially when we have this rider riding hard towards him. He's like, hey, y'all, tell the younglings to be ready, like, be wary. some stuff's about to go down, like, you know.
Yeah, rides up and pours in thousands of Aiel descending on them from all sides. So yeah. Gawain yells for the caravan to stop and form defensive formations, and Galena gets all pissed off about it. Like, who are you to say stop? So like, he's like, we know the Aiel. Like, this is fine.
Yeah, the Shido were supposed to give us escort. That's probably just them. Let me tell you how much I loved how this book ends with the Aes Sedai being fucking wrong about everything. Everything about this chapter. Okay, there's so many cool things that happen in this chapter, but one of the centerpieces are the Aes Sedai, the tower, and the broken tower, whatever side you want to call it, being put in their place. And I don't know what this says about me, but I fucking love it. Even Gawain, and maybe this is why he's getting kudos in my book, like, even he is stepping out, taking action, and this Aes Sedai is like, who are you? You're finally going to learn that I'm in charge, da-da-da-da-da. And then eventually she's like, well, maybe it's not a bad idea to check this out, and let's just be sure. And then...
Oh, no, he didn't say it so kind. He said it kindly in the beginning, like, yeah, Aiel are coming down on us, Aes Sedai. So sorry to question you. It's time you learn your place. He's like, and if they're not your tame Aiel? And it was like, who are they? They've killed one of my men already. At least one. There's still six scouts. Maybe you should consider the possibility that they're Althor's Aiel. So even though he's ready to split from them or he doesn't agree with them, he's still doing his job. Very admirable. Yep. And in this moment, you need a general. You need somebody that's, if nothing else, trained in the art of war, because he's not really seasoned per se. He's been in a couple battles, but he knows more than they do.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
So then we switch to Rand's point of view. He's inside the box.
What's in the box?
We don't have a meme for that? I'm surprised.
It's not just Rand.
Ah, there we go. What's in the
fucking box? Of course you have me for that.
There you go. You got Rand and Luz. Rand is desperately trying to communicate with him. And now, instead of fighting Luz, he's trying to find a way to work with Luz, because he knows Luz knows more than he does about getting out of this situation. So this is an interesting, I don't know if it's a transition, but it's definitely different than the relationship has been up until this point. Rand can't get out of here by himself. Mm-hmm. And he's actually... I won't say embracing, but at least in this moment for this task, he's like, I need Luz.
And if I was in this box together, and I had somebody inside of me, I would definitely want him to help me out too.
Yeah. I would shit. I'd use anything at that point.
Like, I'm too crowded and I'd rather you not drive me crazy. Let's figure this out. We can get out of this together.
Yep.
Me and you.
Yeah. So a couple things are happening while he's here. He feels Alana coming closer, so he, you know, hopes that that can maybe free him. You know, maybe opportunity there.
That starts to creep up in his mind, and then he immediately shakes it off with like, the
"I don't trust."
Trust him. Like you see that falling apart. That's influence from Luz, but also influence from the experiences Rand has had in the last couple of weeks with the Aes Sedai, and. Remembering what the one Aes Sedai that he finally almost started to trust told him, Moraine was like, trust no one. And it's really starting to sink in.
Mm-hmm. Trust no Aes Sedai. She said trust no one specifically.
Right. So he started to say, ooh, she's coming. Maybe she can. Right. And didn't even finish the thought. And was like, nope. Fuck you. Points to Min. You're cool. Fuck you. I'm out of here.
Yeah, so he starts trying to feel around the shield. They're all soft points still. You know, he thinks about how Lou said they need to be hard, and then he can break out. And feeling around the dark. And this is right around the time that suddenly the trunk stops moving. So obviously they stopped because they're about to get attacked. But this is when Gawain halts them. He thinks maybe it's finally nighttime. They're gonna take me out to beat me again. So at least I'll get out, stretch my legs, and
he might get his one bucket of water wash.
But then realizes that it's not opening. So he starts screaming to let him out, and nothing. So he goes back to just searching for the shield and starts laughing. And that's how we end this little point of view and switch to Perrin.
I think one thing that we need to really go back and pay attention to, though, it's like the lid would open soon. how many days in the broiling sun, how many nights he had lost count. Which one would it be this time? Faces spun through his head. He had marked every woman when she took her turn. They were a jumble now, remembering which came, where and when seemed beyond him.
Yeah.
He's kind of going madder.
Right. So I was just about to bring up that point and put it in perspective. So, you know, when you have soldiers, and I've never been a soldier, so maybe Ian can speak on this better than me, but when you have someone that maybe has a disease, like the taint, that's going to make you go crazy, and then you throw PTSD on top of that, it's usually not a good thing.
It all depends on how much time you've spent in processing and understanding what it is you're dealing with. This is a whole nother tangent we could go on. The human brain is fucking wild, and it can make us do so much, and just the chemicals that get released from different emotions we feel and blah, 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 blah. And if you do nothing to get in front of it, even without PTSD, and you're just guided by emotions, what you feel in the moment, like that's just a wild ride in life, your ups and downs and everything. But if you over time and in your lifetime kind of train yourself to look at yourself from a third person from time to time and recognize like, okay, you're feeling anger at this moment, or you're feeling depression at this moment, but why? Okay, you've had these things and these stressors happening. Okay, so let's find a way to compensate for that. You know, there's a way to rise above like that initial instinctive feeling. So, All right, we won't go any deeper than that. So if you have zero experience trying to do that, zero training, and you do have this PTSD shit going on, and you have all these stressors that are hitting you, you're going to lose your fucking shit. There's no hope for you, and everybody around you is in danger. Mm-hmm. But if you spent enough time recognizing things that are going to trigger you and why they're going to trigger you, then there's a way to get through these situations. But it's kind of outer body. It's weird. It's kind of like you become the puppet, like your body's the puppet, and you're outside of it kind of guiding yourself along.
Pause. Hey, he who comes with the wine, we are currently looking at the last chapter of book 6. So if you're not there yet, go away. We love you. Come back when you're here.
Well,
do not spoil this chapter.
I think he's asking spoiler if he's read the whole thing. Like, can you disclose in chat? The answer is no.
If that's what you're asking, sure.
No, the answer is no. our mod team
told me all of it.
Hey, hit me up in the DMs, bro.
We love.
Yeah.
So is Rand struggling right now? Yes. However, Rand is very wise. Well, not very wise. He's maybe lucky and a little wise in some ways. He knows in order to like remain focused and not lose control, he has to constantly seek the void. He's not able to channel, but he keeps clinging to the void. Being in the void kind of gives you protection from this wild up and down roller coaster of emotions that comes with the torture he's being put through. And this is torture what these women are doing to him. And gosh, that's a whole nother thing about me, like not liking the Aes Sedai like one iota anymore. I mean, there might be individuals I find to like along the way, but this group, the shit they're doing to him, we put people in Leavenworth for life for doing that stuff to prisoners of war.
Yeah.
You don't do that. It's
right.
Anyways, my respect for them is, and if they, and man, we need to get a psychologist or a psychiatrist on here. Like if they really believed that they were who they pretend around everybody that they are, they wouldn't even feel the need to do this to him. The fact that they're doing this to him is because they know they're so little and they feel so threatened by him. Mm-hmm. You don't treat somebody like that when you know you're above them, unless you're a really twisted individual. I don't know. I don't like him. Rand's doing his best to keep his shit together.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah. I have my friend Perrin, which let me just say, I'm a little frustrated for Perrin. Okay. I hadn't been in the book for 2 books almost. Became Lord Perrin, the conqueror of all, the greatest of the book. And now he's on his belly trying to save Rand's ass. He just got back in the book and he's already doing Rand's bidding.
Taviren gonna Taviren, man. It's just it's gonna happen. But yeah.
Can we really blame Rand for the times that we're in?
You know, we can't. I'm just giving Rand a hard time because my boy Perrin's out there crawling on his belly. And on top of that, you get the sense, right? So, like, the first thing Perrin goes is, yeah, the wolves gave me the idea, but they didn't give me a clear enough picture. We're completely overwhelmed, right, and we're going to lose.
And Karuna even points out to Perrin that there's at least 300 women that are channeling down there. And look over the edge, and this now the battle's on down there. They haven't joined the battle yet, but the Aes Sedai.
How did the Shido get so large? Like, I know we keep saying, like, oh, all the people that were upset,
everybody
left,
that ran away. Yeah.
Yeah, they all joined the Shido.
There were that many female channelers amongst the Aiel and the Aes, I mean, in the Aes Sedai. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's more crazy to me.
Hey, but can we give some props to your boy Perrin? I don't know if you appreciate this because it sounds you're maybe a little bothered that he's right back to doing Rand's bidding, but
I'm not really bothered. I'm just giving Rand a hard time. But
being that he is where he is and he's made up his mind, he's going to get his boy. Mm-hmm. When yes, the Aes Sedai, and remember, gosh, let's go back to the beginning of when we first met Aes Sedai. And now look at where we're at. And Perrin turns to her and it's like, well, if you're scared, you could just 180 and beat feet that way. Because I don't need that shit. You're either coming with us or you can get the fuck out of here. I don't care, but I'm going. And then, what's his name? Who's the dude from Carrion?
From Delbrain.
Delbrain. He's like, well, we'll go in. I'm going with you. We're probably not coming out.
Yeah.
But and when Perrin sniffs him, he's like, it wasn't fear. It was kind of like resignation. Kind of like, you know, just make it up your mind. This is it.
That's the kind of man I need on my team.
This is, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to die, but I'm going to go all out. I'm going in. Like, yeah. That's,
what was his
that's
name?
Great.
It's actually a very freeing moment. I mentioned it in one episode a while ago, but you want the soldier next to you who has already made up in their mind that they're dead. Because when shit hits the fan, they're not going to pause and think about their wife. They're not going to pause and think about their kids. They've already done that. They did that before the battle started. You want the guy that knows when we go running in here, we are already fucking dead. Those are the guys that wild out. They're the ones that run towards the gunfire because they don't give two fucks.
Audie Murphy, was that his name? From World War II? American soldier. Like, they actually made a movie about him and they toned it down because they thought people wouldn't believe it. They thought it would be unbelievable what he did, like that he was that much of a badass. Like, he one time single-handedly, he was by himself surrounded by 200 Germans, and he ran on top of a tank, grabbed a machine gun, a German machine gun, and mowed down all 200 guys. And they went to go save people against orders. I think he pulled up 38 guys, ended up capturing 11 people by himself, 11 people, killing 8. Like, it just, like, insane stuff like that. You're like,
yeah, if you read all those
soldiers, just like
gets read all the different write ups about him, you would be like, well, this is made up. This is clearly just some propaganda.
Yeah, Captain America is not real, but here we have him.
Yeah,
the trouble is, it's not just it wasn't hush hush about what he did for him to get awards down the line. Like, there are multiple people that wrote in their diaries, wrote letters back home, like everybody that was around that, and he just did ridiculous shit. But you can't do that in the heat of the moment. You can't run towards that fire and think about what you're leaving behind. You can't pause in the middle of it and think, oh my gosh, I might die. It's accepting that before you get into action that just makes you so fucking wild.
He got shot in the leg and turned around and ran right back into battle, killing 50 additional German soldiers after being shot in the leg.
You don't need your whole leg.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, that guy was crazy. But that's like in this kind of situation where it's like you need someone like that that's gonna run in there.
What's that guy's name again? The Carriana guy?
Dobrin.
So after Dobrin makes the comment about like, yeah, well, we're gonna go in, we ain't coming out, but I'm with you, bro. And he looks over at Rourke, and Rourke gives this nod and well, without saying anything, even Rourke, who's this badass Aiel clan chief, warrior, everything. Even he's like, yeah, we gonna die today, but we're gonna take some mofos out as we do it. Like this part got me really riled up, because everything they're looking at, everything that they're looking at says, if we do this, we're Dunsky.
Yeah,
we're done. But we have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they decide to start marching towards the Two Rivers men, join them as well. And the Mariners, they divide into squads, decide they're going to start trying to sneak at the back of the Shido until they're in bow range before initiating the charge. And this is when they actually literally in the book starts counting down to the bow, to their in range. Like, it's,
well, how about Perrin making some bullshit excuse about how he can't swing his axe from the horse?
I'm going to go off
so,
foot, yeah.
So he could get down and get on foot, but it's literally, he makes the point. He's like, look, men can choose to go into battle, and I'm choosing this, but I'm going to let my horses stay back and survive this one. That was
cool.
That was nice.
I think it's cool and nice, and everybody's like, yay, the horses. But this, if you didn't believe what I said before about knowing you're going to die before you go in there, knowing you're walking into a slaughter, this is more emphasis on that.
Yeah.
Rand is letting them live because in his mind, going in there, they are going to die. So
yeah,
it is cool that he made that choice for them to let them go graze somewhere else.
And Zul pointed out as well, just the look between Rurik and Dovrain, like when they had like the, that understanding. And Ayun Kairin, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. The fact that it's so quick. It's just a couple of lines from that dude and a head nod between him and Rourke. But there was an understanding there, and both of them committing to the same thing. Now, that's a very good point. I didn't even think of it on that level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking tree killers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. So, yeah. Now we start counting down as we're getting closer and closer to the back line. And they get there and arrows fly and they charge, and Perrin and Loial with their axes go to town.
Carving out like Loial carves out like street wide paths. Yeah. You could bring carts of people down the path that he is carving.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this battle is like on the levels of like, you know, the Two Towers and Helm's Deep and that kind of stuff. As far as
size. I cannot wait, by the way.
They got to up their budget for the TV show.
Lord, like, I just reread it as y'all were talking, just because it's something different about reading it and then the visualization that happens versus listening to it. And it's like 800 paces, 700. The Two Rivers men's dismounted, taking bows in hand. Like you can see it, you can feel it. 600, 500, 4. Dobrain raised his sword high. The Lord Dragon, victory. And then it's just crash. Ground covered with brown grass, seemingly empty, suddenly gave birth to 1,000 wolves. Lean brown wolves, and some of their darker, heavier forest cousins running low to hurl themselves into the backs of the Shido. Like, what if you're the Shido and you're sitting here like, aha, look at this small group of losers, and all of a sudden, literally the ground erupts from underneath you. Wolves.
Yeah.
Wolves just like teeth and claws and ripping and shredding at your back. And then on top of that, you've got Aiel's spears coming in from the front into the heart, into the lungs, like just straight up.
And a cavalry charge, too, to add to it on the flanks. So it's.
How about this? Beside him, Loial's great axe, Rosenfeld, swung, carving a path. Aram seemed to dance with his sword, laughing as he cut down everyone in his way.
A true Aiel, man. I'm telling you, like.
Tinker's right. Tinker with the sword.
So again, yeah, I don't know where his character is going, but in this moment I could tell you it is not uncommon for one or more people to get the giggles before, during, and after a battle. And
like a person.
Sometimes the giggler is the dude you want to be around. Like they
One of my good friends, he was a fighter pilot. Emotion, but... Yeah, he's a fighter pilot, and he would get like kid songs stuck in his head just during battles. He said he'll start laughing. People on the mic would be like, "What are you laughing about?" I was like, "Don't worry about it." And he's like singing Barney songs in his head while he's in the middle of dogfights and fighting and doing.
The pain makes me laugh. It's like insufferable to the point of laughter.
Yeah, but if you ask him, is it funny? Generally, it's like no. I just
can't help it.
It's how people.
What are you laughing at? What's so funny? Oh, I don't know. Did you see the blood splurt out of their neck? Like clearly, that's not funny. But
so it'll
bring out that laughter in some.
He's going to be the one to rediscover the song.
There's some people that's how they react to stress is with laughter, and it brings me up. So there's a guy that I was good friends with in college, and his wife was one of those people. He went to Hollow Scream, which we have Busch Gardens nearby, and they have the Hollow Scream. It's like they do a bunch of haunted houses there. And we're going through the haunted house with them, and the entire time she's terrified but giggling the entire time because she's so scared. And that's her reaction to being scared. So it was the most funniest haunted house I've been through because none of us were scared because it was just hilarious. That her, she was, like, she's like this little small girl just giggling the entire time. And we're just like, we couldn't hold together. We were laughing too.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
Well, if there's anybody out there that read this by themselves and they're like, that's weird that he's laughing. It's not that uncommon. That's the only reason I want to bring that up. People be like, that's how they get through it.
So as they're hacking, getting closer and closer, parents shocked to see the Aes Sedai are in the middle of battle and they're using the one power to kill. There's fireballs and lightning strikes going everywhere. And he's shocked that because they usually don't use the one power unless it's against Stark friends or in protection of their life. So that is a part of that clause. So they can use the one power if they fear their life, but normally they show a lot of restraint and here they're just all out. But of course you have 40,000 spears pointed at you.
Yeah.
So I guess you'd be in fear of your life. And then suddenly you hear a big boom and gateways start to open up in front of them and pretty much everywhere. And these black coated figures jump out. Bursting heads like
again melons. Popping popcorn.
I want to flashback in the middle of this battle scene. I want to flashback to Taim training the boys on the day they learn to pop heads. Like I imagine that he teaches them to make a fireball, but to place the fireball inside of their head, or do you think there's a power that just explodes head? Like what?
Have you seen The Boys?
I'm thinking, well, yeah. But it's got to be all right. So far, all of
they're just expanding here, they're expanding the water inside of their heads,
right? And the best way to do that is to heat it up, right?
Yeah,
they practice
watermelons.
Yeah. So like they're trying to superheat inside the heads and explode them. I don't know. That's the way I envision it. Or unless it's like the use of
air.
It's like
air
pimple popper.
But then it's
like
more if it was air, it'd be smashing in.
But well, they can fill all the crevices like here, air inside,
and then it popped out there like pimples.
No, Alan, if they just shove a bunch of air inside of their nose and mouth, they'd be like farting and burping.
Yeah,
the heads explode.
Yeah,
so you gotta. I'm thinking superheating inside the head.
Yeah,
placing a fireball in their head.
Yeah, so Dana points out that when Rang did there, they were training on blowing up rocks. Yeah. So that'd be a good.
Maybe they were just opening up many portals inside of their mind.
Whoa. That'd more like slice them in half, kind of, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Interesting. All the ways we could think of. I like the whole boiling until it explodes analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it from Perrin's point of view before we switch back to our final point of view, Rand, for the rest of this battle. So if you didn't catch it, it goes back in time. That hollow boom that Taryn hears is the chest exploding. So we're going back to Rand back in the box. So this is before all that happens.
Now the chest is put back together.
Yeah. We're back to Rand's point of view before that happens. So Rand's still inside the chest. He feels the 6 points and one turns hard.
Giggity. Rand fumbled at the shield between him and the source, moaning. Floated across the void, grim, pure, and burned fear slid along the edge of it. He was no longer altogether certain which was his and which was Luce Theron's. So this is that moment where we're starting to see him really connect with Luz, and it kind of actually gives me hope Like, maybe this is the turn of the wheel where instead of Luz taking completely over, Luz decides, let's work together. And maybe that's where we get the biggest difference in past lives versus current life, is Luz is like, you know what? Maybe two heads are better than one.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd maybe. Be pretty powerful.
It would be. Taking it just through the very sheer thought of having a second conscious that wasn't completely overwhelmed by past regret, that in and of itself is powerful, because it kind of allows you to really look at the situation a little bit more, I don't know, removed. And then Rand has friends. Luz does not.
Well,
for that, Luz, what one, someone points out, Luz is crazy.
That too.
Yeah.
So is Rand, though.
A little bit.
Crazy.
What was I going to say? Oh, so step one is they have to have a common goal. And right now they have a singular goal. And no, it's twofold. It's obviously escaping, getting away from the shield. Mm-hmm. But then both, you know, want to...
work the arms.
Yeah, well, they kind of want to get a little bit of vengeance against the people that did this to them in different ways. Mm-hmm. Rand wants to do it in a very public fashion, and Luz just wants to immediately destroy anybody that ever did anything to him, because he's fucking Luz Theron. What did he say? Like, God of the Morning or
Lord of the Morning.
Lord of the Morning. Yeah. But in order to do that, they have to escape. So they have a soul
Lord
focus.
Of the Morning. Because we go all night. Y'all know I could hold out the whole time without saying something stupid.
There's got to be a couple of giggities.
Giggity, giggity.
Yeah. So they're at least, they're both focused on the same thing right now. And that's why it's easy for them to melt, because the goal is the same. It's not like Luz is pulling one way, Rand is pulling another. No. Rand is like, I got to break this shield. And Luz is right there with him, like, I know how. Let's just wait for this. This is the moment we're looking for. So they're same focus, same goal.
Weaves the thinnest strands of air to like go through infinitesimal spaces between the knots, and like you think about picturing untying a knot or breaking a knot.
And it's kind of like that though. Like one of my favorite, I don't know why I'm weird, but one of my favorite things to do is untie knots. Like I don't get overly frustrated. I get like, or overly anxious. I get a little frustrated, but not anxious at all. I'm like, I know I can do it. I just have to find that right one. If I push hard, I push that. Yes, it budged. And the minute I get that little bit of space, I'm like, go!
So two things that make a good knot, because there are good knots and there's bad knots. So there's two things that make a good knot. Is one, it actually serves a purpose and does what it's supposed to do. And two, that it's easily untieable. If it doesn't have those two things, it's a bad knot. And there's plenty of ways to tie bad knots, but you can tie them the same way where they're easily, we call them breakable knots. So they'll have like a little flange, you can break the knot. But if you tie overhand knots, like just one loop over and tie tight, if you put a lot of pressure on that, you ain't getting it undone. It's just, and when I say a ton of pressure, I mean literally a ton.
Yeah.
it's locking and you're not going to ever untie it. So,
yeah. Always my favorite thing to do though. But so it was interesting to see, hear their interaction for him to, we have to be really good about this. We have to wait and we have to, wait for something to happen, because if they feel, then they'll come back. If they come back, it'll be stronger. If it's stronger, we're not going to get out. So we had, like, you know, there was a little bit of, like, insanity in what was going on, but very well planned.
And need is the key. Rand has to let Luz come in here some. Rand doesn't know how to fucking get out of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Luz does. So Rand also has to let him. Even as crazy as Luz is, he's got to let him seep in here some and take control, take the lead.
All right.
And he's learning from him. Because Rand initially was like, I have no idea what he's doing. And but in between...
He's paying attention.
Yeah. And then in between, he's kind of drifting in and going, all right, we have to do this. And then if we do this, we can do this. So here is like an inherent trainer. Like, we have... you know, one of the baddest men in the world, or one of the best men in the world, however you want to call him, that could potentially teach Rand how to really master the power if he lets him.
Yeah. He's no Asmodean, though.
No, he's not.
Rest in peace.
Who killed Asmodean again? We still don't know, do we?
Nope.
It was Alan.
Yeah, it was me. I'm a dark friend. So, yeah, so it breaks apart the knots, gets down to the last two. The last two are still soft. At this point, Rand can feel the source enough that he's able just to...
It's like it's right on the other side. Like it's right there.
Yeah.
Still can't quite touch him. It's a thin barrier.
So does the pattern provide loses knowledge to Rand because he needs him? I don't think so. Like, I think Luz is like the anomaly of the pattern. And that's why the pattern keeps getting disrupted and then having to reset. I think the minute Luz kind of removes himself from that and like partners with Rand, then the pattern starts to correct itself. So kind of my thought on that.
Okay. Interesting. But yeah. So boom. That's where we are. Box goes boom.
Well, wait. We have to talk a little bit more about how the boom happens. So we talked about how once it gets hard, he's able to slowly weave the air in around, and because it's hard and rigid, you know, and not soft. I don't know. Anyways, it weaves around and gets it. Yeah, giggity. He's able to get his weave of air into every single open space in and around it. And then there's a flex.
And you can only get it in when it's hard. If it's soft, it doesn't quite go the same way.
No.
You can't. Like you'll get to that, you'll see the gap and you'll try to like get in there
But when it's at its hardest, it does burst. And when it bursts, the dam floweth forward.
Yep. But
and all the women go still.
Wait, are we talking about Will Time still?
All right.
A giant moan and then big dam of tears.
Well, Chris is not wrong. Like that also went through my mind. I wanted to bring us back to that moment because it was so awesome for all of you out there that were waiting for it. It's not just like he weaves in there, but then the flex and the expansion and bursting it apart in a non-sexual way. So it's funny in a sexual way, but in a non-sexual way, it's really fucking awesome how he just burst apart the shield there. So,
and while he bursts apart the shield, the box goes boom.
And then the box goes boom.
And the women all cry. The ones that were still connected.
Yeah. So once it's hard and you get all up in there and you blow that box up, just bam. Yeah. It just,
it just dropped off.
There you go. I mean, that's all we got for this week.
Until next time.
Okay. So
he wasted no time, though. Let's just be real. The minute he got out of the box, he was like, bippity boppity, boo, boo, boo. You're still. Like,
you've got no power, and you've got no power. Nobody's got power.
Well, yeah, I don't think, but I think that was a consequence of him doing it, too. I don't think he even knew what he was doing at this point. Like, he just,
oh no, that Luz was Luz. Knew what he was doing.
Oh, that was Luz.
Luz came through. Luz was like, ha, ha, ha.
Remember, everything I was talking about getting the weave of, like air and whatever in there, that was Luz.
That was
flexing it. That was Luz. Rand was watching that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, feeling it happen, whatever, because they're one in the same. But Luz conscious was doing that
happening.
And the moment it blew open, Luz was still in control.
Yeah, he was like, "Where are all the witches?" He put down that whip, man. I'm just telling you, like in my mind, it was literally like that wind became a whip-like action and severed whatever, like popped out the candle, severed the connection, whatever you want to say, just knife action, something.
Yeah.
And now, wait a minute.
So glorious.
Luz didn't shield them. He stilled them, right?
He stilled them. He cut them off. Yes. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. You're done.
How many female Aes Sedai do you need to cut a male channeler off from the source?
That's just one. If they got it right, if you cut it right
with no resistance, I guess. Yeah. Okay, so you don't need the 13 for that. 13 is just the
to hold them.
13 just means no matter what they try to do to resist, they got you. Okay. Yeah.
Well, can't they like take control of them with 13? Maybe I'm mixing this up.
Rafa, I don't
like. Yeah. If I, you know, but I remember from like really early
13,
on.
Yeah, 13's a big thing. Yes. Yeah, no, I'm not sure exactly.
But I mean, it's still significant that he was able to cut them off from the source, just one person.
Thirteen's the maximum amount of a female Aes Sedai that can link.
Until you use the male Chandler to continue the chain.
And they can use that to turn him to the dark side. I feel like I remember that from a prior book. Yeah, like the same one that had the flicker action.
Okay.
I remember which book that was.
I think they did. Yeah. Okay. I think that was mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With 13 Aes Sedai, they can turn someone. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the big thing. It was like, we don't want him to become an evil.
Right, they mentioned it. It's not with Rand. They mentioned it with Egwene and Nynaeve when they're hunting down the Black Aja, and they have 13 Aes Sedai sisters they're hunting down. That's right. Books and books ago, they mentioned that 13 Black sisters could turn anyone to the shadow.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, that. Anyway, all I know is my man Luz took action. He was like, and now Galena, I want her. Where is she? Especially her. Like, yeah. He had it out for them. And Rand's like, hold on a second. Hold on.
Right. Well, Rand spots men, and immediately.
Yeah. A little bit of a tease, though. If Rand didn't seize control and Luz was still in charge for another minute, 2 minutes, what would have happened? Do you think we would have needed Taim to come in and do anything? No. Or do you think, I feel like Luz would have just picked off all the nearby, all right, Aes Sedai, pew, 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 and then looked and be like, oh, these motherfuckers still attacking us? Goosh. And we'd have seen some shit that people haven't seen for thousands of years. Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, so little bit of a tease, but for the purposes of our story, you know, I guess it's great that Rand took control again and started freaking out that he thought he hurt Min.
Right.
Yeah.
And then rolls her over and realizes that she's staring up at him saying, oh, Rand, and everything's okay for the time being. Yeah, untie me, you sheepherder. You know, Scrooge, just get me out of here.
Yeah.
Just throw me over the shoulder and get me out of here. Screw untying me. Just get me out of here. You know, make a gateway and get out. And he's like, I can't make a gateway. I don't know where I am. So that's,
and we've been told that rule, so I get it, but like it still doesn't make sense to me why you need to know where you're at. You gotta know where you are to know where you're going. I don't know.
Right. You have to know where you are to make a gateway to somewhere. So
yeah.
Right.
Otherwise you'll go randomly somewhere.
Anyway, right. Yeah, I get that. It just doesn't make sense.
Could be like in a wall. Could be any. Like could be something that doesn't. Yeah. Could be in a volcano.
Whatever it is, that's the rule. So yeah. Here we are.
Exactly. At this point, this is when Rand sees. He starts looking around the battle around him and sees Ashaman fighting, and because he senses the male, you know, Sidine.
Well, because man, when she's so like, let's get out of here, he quickly explains to her, is like, it's not that simple. I can't do that. But then he follows up with, also, I think there's some people here to save me. I got to stick around to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
They're popping pimples.
Well, this is my favorite part. That makes me kind of convoluted, I guess. But when it's like, pop, 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 I'm like,
ooh. And Rand starts to shield, starts to look around for other Aes Sedai, sees the one that tortured him, Arianne, and shields a few other ones.
But doesn't cut him off, and this is where we hear more about when we were imprisoned, Luz was like, I'm going to steal every one of these mofos immediately as soon as I get a chance. So he knew that Luz did that when he first got out. But Rand, it's almost a little bit more sinister. Rand wants them to know, I'm the one doing this to you. He doesn't want to surprise, sneak up on him and do him. Rand wants to have a trial. He wants it public. He's like, and then if I steal you, it's going to be in front of everybody with you begging for mercy.
Yeah.
So it's not that Rand is better by shielding right now.
Yeah.
I think it's worse. But
he can call it justice and justify it.
Yeah.
He didn't take away. He did not take away. They took it away by not obeying the rule of the land.
But that's what I'm saying. He wants them to understand that before he does it. That's
he wants everybody around him to understand it too.
Well, true. Yeah. I still think that's a little more, maybe not more fucked up, but that's.
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. It is worse.
It's deeper. It's brutal, but it's certainly their fault.
Yeah. And then at this point, it's also. Go ahead.
I said it's what a king would do.
Yeah. Yeah. So at this point, this is when Gawain rides up and does his little snarky little not today a Thor and then runs off.
Yeah. Or Min. He's like, Min, I will save you. And she won't let go of Rand. And Min goes, don't do it. Elaine loves him.
Uh-huh.
And Gawain goes,
But we're going to cut our way out.
Let's not belittle this. Look at everything that's going on here. And Gawain cut through all of that with his people to come get Min.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Min decides to stay and he rides off by himself, like that's not a small thing what he did. So we gotta give him a positive grade here on intent.
Right.
At least I would like to.
Agreed.
He gets a couple of merit points here.
Right. And then he rides off, cut his way out, and right at this point, Rand turns around and Ashaman almost kills him, and Taim shows up right in time and goes, that's the Lord Dragon. Stop. What you doing? That's the one we're saving.
Did you kill the Lord Dragon? They're like, oh, that's it?
Okay.
My bad, sir. Sorry.
I still go back to Rand fucked up here. How are there all these spiders that don't know who he is?
And Taim just cool and calm, just like, so I hope you're not too upset with me breaking your rule about not hurting Aes Sedai. But I might have, did a thing or two. Violated your orders.
I was going to go see you about something important, and you weren't there. So I magically found you. Magic. With
a freaking army of men that are like, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what I feel like is more awesome. How long has he had to train these guys?
A few months. Maybe.
He made that type of progress. Think about how much work Rand has had to put in, and he's still using a Tron Growl to really make himself strong. And then these guys are popping up like, pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. Die. So, obviously, we paused here when we did the live recording, and those of you that listened to it, I'm going to say this again. Very suspect of Taim because of how well he trained them. And the fact that he was able to train them to work together like this. So this many male channelers working together hasn't happened for how long? Thousands of years?
Yeah. Thousands, yeah, since the breaking. So,
and how does he have the knowledge to teach them to do this so flawlessly? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not flawlessly because the first guy that came out died. But after that, not many. They work it in unison like that, and the type of
maneuvers they make, building entire shields around the group.
Yeah. Before we get to that, before we get to them doing that, Taim does offer Rand healing, and Rand refuses, and Lou starts shouting his head, "Kill him now! Just kill him! Kill him! Kill him!"
Yeah.
Definitely Taim orders the campsite to be secured at that point.
Because I'm wondering, like, what connection would have been made if a male channeler heals another male channeler?
Well, I think Rand learned from Alana, you don't let anybody touch you with the power.
He learned way back from Moraine.
Well, until, but then he let Alana touch him.
Yeah.
You don't let anybody reach out and touch you.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
So, a dome of air.
Take a nap and heal yourself.
Yeah. So a dome of air covers the camp and leaves a hole in the top to let the smoke out. And lightning strikes start hitting it, and the Aiel just start piling up, trying to push against the wall of air that they've created. And now it's all secure, so they're all safe inside.
Chris, was it just me, or were we currently in Wakanda?
Oh, no, yes.
Okay, all right, not just me. Like, oh, all right, no, okay, good. Sorry. That's exactly how I pictured it.
Another shameless plug. If you haven't seen it yet, it does move slow. It is setting a lot of stuff up. It's still a good movie.
Oh, the new Black Panther?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I still need to see it, but I've heard great. Oh,
good movie.
Okay. So the battle dies down inside the dome. The shadow that were inside the dome take off the Condor and become Gaishanums immediately. They give up. And the Aes Sedai that are shielded are taken prisoner by the Ashimon. And Alana's there and the others, they don't approach Rand because they think because of the Ashimon all around. They're kind of scared. They're scared.
Mm-hmm. It was a little awkward with them just kind of standing off to the side like, we're here. Hey.
Yeah. And then Dobrain, Perrin, Loyal,
capes, like ready to kill. Yeah. They look like Death Eaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when Perrin, Loyal, Aram, Dobrain all walk up to Rand.
Oh, but Loyal limps.
Yeah, Loyal's a little hurt. They're all a little hurt, a little bloody and wounded.
No, fuck the rest of them. Why is Loyal limping?
Well, he did
kill like battle. 50 people.
He did battle.
He did
for a little bit.
For a little bit.
He got bit by a chihuahua. All of us saw people at some point in life get bit by a chihuahua. And it causes us
to honestly, I don't think anybody touched Loyal. I think like he turned to help somebody and maybe rolled an ankle on a stump or something.
That would make better sense.
Yeah. I don't there might be blood on him, but it ain't his blood.
Yeah, Perrin's thankful that Rand's alive and tells him to make a gateway and get him out of here. And Rand's like, that's not how this really works. and then, Rand orders the air be lifted, the dome be lifted, and Time's like, oh, maybe you should wait a second before we just go ahead and let 40,000 in here with a plan. And Perrin's arguing to let the other
Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do a good job keeping us on track, but sometimes you miss the mark.
Yeah.
Time was like, actually, let's hang out inside the shield till we know this place well enough to portal out of here.
Right.
And everybody else out there that dies, they just fucking die for the dragon. And that's okay. Because Tyrion was okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge difference. Yes. Then let's get a plan.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Get a gateway.
And not that Tyrion's plan was a bad plan. Tyrion was narrowly focused on saving Rand. And that was a way that Rand and everybody else in that bubble right there would be able to get away. So it was a way. Sure.
It was a way.
But
Perrin objects saying, hey, let's, our people are out there still. Like, you have to do something.
Perrin objects, the Aiel that were in there, they objected by their looks. There was a lot of objections. And Loyal even objects in his very, I don't even know the adjective to use here, but when Perrin was like, all right, fuck it, just let me out. I'll go back and tell them they could go ahead and leave and retreat. And Loyal was like, well, two would have a better chance than one sort of thing. Like, I'll go with you. But he's Loyal's also letting it be known that I'm not going to portal out of here and leave everybody else to die. No way. Yeah. And Aram just kind of giggles like, like clearly he's going too, because he wants to laugh and cut more people.
Yeah. Well, and Perrin also makes the point saying that as long as he stays here in the dome, no one knows he's alive or has been, we've been saved yet. So they're going to continue fighting.
Right.
You know, we need to let them know somehow that we're good.
Where's the Illuminator people at this point to shoot off some fireworks? We need some flares.
Some flares.
All right. Green flare means we're good. Red flare means we're in trouble.
We're not good. Yellow flare means, you can try it.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not.
But in the end, Rand rejects all these ideas and says, Savan needs to be taught a lesson. He says,
kill the beast.
I told you to make weapons. Show me your weapons.
Now this is that point. This is that point where even Luz had to be like, well, it's not a bad idea. Don't kill him yet. But let's see what he does. Like,
yeah, so the first thing they do is raise the banner of light and just
like
slowly the dragon banner goes up.
The banner goes up. And they don't remove the shield completely, they raise it.
Yeah.
So they're still protected from above the same way they were.
Yeah.
The shield was,
which is very smart. Think about the control they have to continue that barrier and at the same time start killing people.
Popping mother fucking heads.
Yep. At- so Taim says the famous lines, Ashman form battle lines, raise the air dome two spans. And as soon as they do, the shadows start to flood in. And then he says,
Ashman, Ashman kill.
Oh. And.
Yes. Oh. Okay. We'll do it. Our famous line. We got to back up for just a second. Perrin pleaded with Rand, like, look, I saw what they did out there. Please, please don't do this. It is so gruesome. And Rand was like, what else can I do right now?
Yeah.
Like, you're asking me to save everybody. You want to save the Emmons Fielders. You want me to save the Wise Ones. You want me to save Rorik out there. I get it. This is the only way we do that. And even Perrin was like, shit. Okay.
This turn, the way the,
turns the way, and pukes.
The way the book, yeah, the way the books, they ran into a meat grinder. Yeah. It's pretty gross.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
This is really that point of no return for all of them, though. There was still a chance for them to kind of live a semi-normal life.
You don't go home after
all of that. No, you don't. Not fully, never. Physically, yes. Mentally and emotionally.
You never go
back. No, you don't.
Yeah. And then the next order is rolling ring of earth and fire, which causes the ground to erupt in flames and a ring going out from the camp and just hundreds of yards out. And there's already a pile, a wall of bodies. And then it just starts killing people running away, fleeing. Like, just, I can't remember how many yards it says, but it's.
They didn't really touch on this, but you got to assume it wasn't just the Shido that got diced up here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, there's got to be some of, I'll say, our people.
Mm hmm.
That got minced up in this.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not pointing that out to be like this was a mistake. I don't know. I don't like the concept of acceptable losses, but yeah. I mean, at the strategic level, there's you have to consider that. There's rarely a no loss way forward, but
yeah, and especially when you're already so limited on support.
Yeah.
And though that support just so happens to end up becoming friends because there's so few, and then you're ordering their death.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get into this, this might rub people the wrong way, but I mean, to this day, the history books, they justify the use of nuclear bombs in the war in the Pacific against Japan by saying how many lives would have been lost if we went island to island trying to finish that war. And if you do the math of loss of life sustained on both sides for every little inch of ground up into that point, like, yeah, mathematically you could say, man, I can't even verbalize it. But at the same time, nuking two fucking cities of a whole bunch of people.
Right. Not to mention the carpet bombing of fire bombs in Tokyo. And
Yeah. I mean, we try to justify it from a utilitarian approach of, hey, technically it saved life. No, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyways, good guys got diced up with the bad guys. I don't think it was just bad guys piled up out there, but Jordan didn't really get into that.
Yep. Yeah. So ran orders in the stop. People are throwing up all around them because it's just, there's wounded and dead everywhere. It's just. Yeah, and they're all at this point. The surviving are all just fleeing for their lives. No one's attacking anymore. The battle's over.
Can I make one more jab at the Aes Sedai?
Sure.
There's no comment of the captured Aes Sedai throwing up because of all of the death around them, but they do throw up and get nauseous, and they're disgusted by the way they're manhandled by the male Chandlers, the Ashaman.
Yeah.
Which fuck them. This is why the readers don't like you at this point.
Yeah.
Because you don't care about anybody else. You think you're above everybody else. You think your mission's above everybody else. You're just heartless. And the only reason, like, you're emotionally traumatized at this point is because you're finding out you're not the cock of the walk right now. You're not Billy Badass.
Right.
And there are factions out there now that are more able.
Right. And I think it was Perrin actually yells Rand to stop. Make him stop. It's enough.
Yeah.
You've done enough. Stop it. So Rand stops him, you know, turns to Taim and actually congratulates him and the Ashaman for what they've done today. And Tiny gets his smart, kind of, yeah. And then he turns his attention back to the Aes Sedai, and Alana and her Knights of Aes Sedai come up all smugly, like, he came to save you. And Rand's like, on your go, you're with the rest of them. Get over there. You're,
yeah. Well, he counts them.
Yeah. I said six.
I said six. Are you there at this part in the book, Chris? Do you have it open?
Nope, I don't have it open, but I can open it really quick.
It's worth it.
Yep. Open. Kneel and swear to the Lord Dragon.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, even Rand
will be knelt
on that part. So I got all super excited in live recording about Taim's lines. But even Rand's conversation with the Nine about how they done did fucked up was just as good. You know, I told you you'd be on the same.
Yeah. So
he said, I forget nothing. Aes Sedai, Rand said coldly. I said six could come, but I count nine. And I said you would be on equal footing with the Tower emissaries. And for bringing nine, you will be.
Oof.
They are on their knees. Aes Sedai, kneel.
Ah!
You were like, nigga, what'd you say? And he said, kneel and swear to the Lord Dragon, or you will be knelt. It gives you a little bit for Taim. Like, even if you think he's Demon Dread himself.
I'm like, not. All right. There have been better scenes, but like as far as best line delivered so far, like weep for Manethrin, that whole scene was pretty badass, right?
It was.
But this was just two sentences.
Yeah.
The best short pithy impact line, like, oh my gosh, these are the most powerful words spoken so far in the Wheel of Time. Kneel to the Lord Dragon, or you will be knelt. God damn. That was.
Yep. And the final line of the chapter is, and the first nine Aes Sedai swore fealty to the Dragon Reborn, and the world was changed forever. And that's how we end the chapter.
So it says the first nine, it was that group.
The nine that came, yeah. Just,
yeah.
The other ones.
What do you think about the rest of the Aes Sedai they had captured? Do you think they also swore fealty? Or?
Still. Yeah. Goodbye. They're not Aiel anymore.
I do think, yeah, going forward, I think Rand does have some sort of trial and allows justice, whatever. But yeah, I think ultimately between Lou's influence in and him and Rand needing to make an example, I think anybody that took part in capturing him and shielding him,
there's
and
something
torturing
else to
him.
To pay close attention to, though. We have the ancient art of restoring those that have been stilled. And we know that there are dark friends learning at Salidar. So this could be a temporary thing.
Oh, it might turn into a game of freeze tag. You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you might be able to go touch a frozen friend and rejuvenate them.
Yeah.
It's possible. Yep.
Yeah, so that's how we end this chapter. So anything else from this before we move to the quick, rapid, mini points of views of the epilogue?
can we show the meat grinder clip one more time?
The blender?
I feel like we need... Yeah, there it is. And look, there's fire in it. I still think it's fire. I guess with like a snap of electricity, it could be lightning directed. I guess my point is Taim must have taught them to be able to place either the fireball or electricity or whatever in a very specific spot. Because I'm still fixated on, to make the head explode, you have to superheat it really quick and use the moisture inside to expand to blow it up.
Use microwave.
Yeah, but it's not.
It is in the future.
Sure.
In the past, in the future.
Yeah.
In the past, in the future, in the
Do
past.
You know... We dabbled with the use of directed microwaves for route clearance, and we found out very quickly it's damn near impossible to avoid the collateral damage.
No.
I mean, if there's a dog on the side of the road that you're trying to clear with use of microwaves, it's
not a dog anymore.
I'll stop there, but we've all used a microwave before, so
yeah,
you know, it's not cool.
So you guys, so we don't do that. Move to the answer, which is
no. I want to go back to the beginning of this chapter and do it again.
All right, do it all over again.
I want to restart one more time.
Yeah. So we're gonna go with the answer. So we're in Ebudar. It's Faelyn's point of view. Which Faelyn's one of the Aes Sedai Black Sisters from Tanchico. Frustrated that Nynaeve and Elaine slipped out without anyone seeing them. Obviously, they're being hunted as they're hunting that Angriel.
Hunt the hunter.
And that's pretty much, you know, she's just trying to find it there and hoping that they can, you know, find what they're trying to find. So it's a really short point of view, but gives a little bit of
She was glad that Mogadine had ignored her since she was given her some orders so many months ago in Amadecia. So this is the one that she put to task. They don't realize that they're no longer kind of being tamed at the moment because Mogadine or Mogadian, however you pronounce it, she's currently locked up, incapacitated
for the next couple seconds.
Chris, Mogadine might be right where she wants to be.
She could be.
Well, she might be now. She wasn't before.
Yeah. And then Herod Fell's point of view, which is the other character Ian calls me because he's the guy at the university and a golem.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that is. Slips in and literally tears him limb for limb.
I don't wish that upon you, Alan. That's not where I was going with this. I didn't know about this coming up. I'm just saying if I'm going to do bar trivia and I get to pick my team, you're the first person I'm going to want on my team because you know a little bit about everything. You don't know enough about shit for us to make money off of it, but you know a little bit about everything, and it's dangerous.
The jack of all trades, the master of none, kind of thing. Yeah,
right.
So it's not Faelyn. It's I don't know. It's one of the F names that Moira Jordan says. It's not the other person. It's the other person. You guys got
wait.
That?
Which one was cool. Herod though? He wasn't the crazy one, is he?
Yeah, Herod's the crazy. He's the crazy guy in the university that always is
alluded. That said, told Rand to come back when the pretty girl wasn't around.
Yep.
Because he had a legitimate answer to give Rand about something he was searching for, and they didn't want him to get that answer. Now, who discovered he had that answer?
Doesn't matter. He's torn.
But who's in the area that would care that much? That would know about the school and know about everything that's happening. And have the power to create a golem and stop this from happening.
The pigeons.
So what do you think?
Come on now, throw you a bone.
So it's just the golem squeezed under his door. So it actually came in from the crack under the door. Didn't open the door, just squeezed in. So
come on, Ian. Who did it? Who sent it?
The gray.
Oh,
maybe it's Varen. You know what? At this point, you know what's so great about Varen? Even if she turns out to be evil, I think I'm still going to like her.
It wasn't Varen. You know who it was. Come on.
Oh no.
You've been on his case the entire book.
Oh, Pen Fain? No.
Taim.
Oh, Taim. No. See, let me think about it because I haven't.
He visited Kyra and found out that Rand wasn't there. And that's how he found out that Rand was gone. Maybe.
No.
That'd be too easy.
No, Domadred. Here's the thing about Domadred. So far in my profiling of him, when
you're gonna call him that now for sure.
Yeah, when he gets a win, he wants credit for the win. So he's not a bad guy. He's certainly one to be threatened by and fearful of, but he's not one that's gonna get you in the shadows.
Gotcha.
I think his big victories, he wants to be seen and he wants credit for because he wants to be number one. You can't be number one if you do everything in secret.
Katie, just because you said it, it's not the same person.
Maybe it's whoever killed Asmodian. Well, maybe Asmodian killed himself through a series of poor choices in his life. Has anybody ever thought that? You made cause and effect, okay?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So then we switch to our one paragraph to a writer that's overlooking Ibadar and is a Sanchen and says that I think that they're ready for their great return and the daughter of Nine Moons with it.
Yes.
Hey, who's happy for Matt? Come on, Matt. Matt's about to meet up with his one true love.
Uh-huh.
Or his second true love, or is this his third true love?
He will slay them.
Yeah. I guess the other weren't true love. They were just one night stands. And
yeah. Yep.
Well, he tried with that Aiel chick that turned out to be.
Yeah.
He's trying to
catch up with the number of children we have as a collective.
And then we switch to probably the longest point of view in this whole entire epilogue, which is Mogedion's, where she's
lying on her back the night. Mogedion stared at the roof of the tiny tent she was allowed to herself as one of the Amarlin's servants. From time to time, her teeth ground, but as soon as she realized it, she sealed them again. This Egwene Alvear was harder than Elaine or Nynaeve had been. She tolerated less and demanded more. And even when she passed her bracelet to Swan and Lyanna, especially Swan, Mogadine shivered.
Yep.
All of a sudden, in comes a person. Who are you? She demanded. Call me, how you pronounce it?
Arendar?
Call me Ishmael.
Mogadine.
That's a different book.
Ishmael was earlier.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Hearing her own name, she like froze. She's like, "You know me? Really? How do you know? Oh my goodness, are you here to save me?
Like, you've been summoned to Shao Ghul. I'm here."
Actually, yeah. She was like, "Oh shit, this person just used my real name. This isn't cool."
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not a good thing.
But then notices that she's channeling, but she can't see the weaves. No, and
he's channeling. She's channeling.
Right.
They is channeling.
Yes.
Have we asked his or her or they's?
So it was no, we have not, but
it was a woman that had a male.
No, it was a man. It was a man who was brought back into a woman's body. So it's a male. It's a male soul.
Yes. And so the power is linked.
But he doesn't want to be known as male because that would give him away. So
the power is linked to the power is linked to the soul, not to the body.
Right.
Male channeler, yes, but I don't think he wants to be addressed as a he.
No,
because that's part of his cover. This is interesting. He identifies as a he, but he doesn't want other people to identify him as a he. Interesting.
Well, he'll want to aid crisis.
I think this is they them.
Okay.
But I don't want to assume.
Well,
in 95, there was no such thing as politically correct.
That's true.
Yeah, the whole pronoun conversation.
We were really still watching the Power Rangers and going, they put two women in there and one's Asian?
Well, I mean, I'm sure the pronoun conversation had started in 95. It wasn't as mainstream or as well known amongst the population as is today.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So a male soul shoved into a female body. That's soul.
Yeah.
So anyway. So it breaks the collar, lets Mogadine go and says, "Hey, you need to go to Shao Ghul, you're summoned." And yeah.
And there she goes.
And she goes.
Away.
And then we get more hints at the nameless thing. She's like, am I being nameless? She's like, no, I ain't gonna be nameless after all the shit I just went through.
Yeah.
Man.
It can make me nameless.
But maybe.
And Demon Dread is there like, "Aren't I such a good boy? Didn't I do such good things?"
That's the last one. But Egwene goes to the tent and sees she felt the necklace come off. So she runs to the tent.
And she knew, didn't Egwene also know it was a male channeler? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was thinking
Loghain, maybe.
Was it Loghain? No, he wouldn't double back. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So now we have Mogedion, who knows that there is a female who channels with the male source of the power. Mm-hmm. And we have an Egwene that no, because Egwene doesn't know.
She just thinks there's a male.
Egwene just thinks a male came.
Yeah.
But she has no way of knowing that it was actually a female.
Correct. Right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we switch to Demon Dread, who's at Shao Ghul. "Have I done well, Great Lord?
Daddy, didn't I do well, Daddy?" Wasn't I a good boy?
So Taim was like, how did I do?
Did you see the show? There were fireworks. Pew, 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 pew.
Here's the thing. If I try to go, okay, if Taim is not Don Madrid, who is? It has to be somebody that influenced a lot of what happened in this book.
Then the other question is what did Taim do that, or DM and Dread do that was so worthy of recognition from the Great Lord?
The Great Lord, remember early on, he said something that I'm paraphrasing, like, let loose the Lord of Chaos.
Yeah. Oh, so you say maybe Taim's the Lord of Chaos?
No, Taim.
No, he's talking about Taim saved Rand. Theron. He's talking about loose Theron. Let loose Theron free.
Okay, well, Taim saved him. Let him loose.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a video on YouTube with Gil Godfrey. Doing the voice of the dark one voicing the dark one for those demon dread scenes. I think that's fantastic.
You did good. I can't do the voice. That sucks.
That was pretty good. That was pretty Godfrey.
Who is? Don't ask us that question. You do meat wad very well.
I should have used meat wad when all the heads was exploding.
I was like, thinking that as soon as you said it.
And your friend like, why do I got brains on me? That shit is blowing up everywhere.
I think that was an episode too.
Shakes over there being a little bitch. table and I want an adult beverage.
Let the secret out that Ian actually voices Meat Wad from Hunger Force. <Yeah. laughs> All right. And that's what we have this book.
Things that happened the last 2 weeks. The Green Ranger, man. I don't know how to feel. I know I'm completely shifting from the book for a minute because it's been on my mind for since it happened. You know, I am disappointed. And I don't know if it's fair to feel that way, but he was my hero. Like, first hero I ever like loved and cherished and bought collectibles and like followed for a while. So I was like,
I mean, man. Not the first few episodes he showed up, but eventually.
No. I liked him then.
Right off the bat?
Right off the bat. Oh, green shit. Was my favorite color and he was evil.
With his flute.
Yes. And I play the flute. So it's like,
yeah, you do.
Yes. Very well.
Giggity.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, awesome. Disappointed.
Can disappointed. I just, I need to give a quick shout out to everybody that was reading these books as they came out. Considering that I would think this would be the hardest book to finish and then have to wait for the next. And only knowing what I know now, I'm sure there's more that you might feel this way, but you get the final chapter, the battle, it's fantastic, but we know there's still so much not just lingering out there. And this epilogue, all the epilogue does is just raise the hairs on the back of your neck every step of the way. And then how long did you have to wait till the next book?
Between Lord of Chaos and Chaos Wars?
Yeah, that had to be tough. So I feel for you. I'm sorry you went through that. Yeah.
Probably about 10 weeks waiting on Harry Potter.
Yeah, but this is a...
It was released on October 15th, 1994, was Lord of Chaos. And then the next book was followed by Crown of Swords, which 94. And the next one was released in May 15th, 1996. So almost two years.
Wow. A lot of time to simmer on this.
I would have forgotten about a book by then. I'd have been like, no, I'm good. I don't need to read
it. That would have been very hard. I recognize mm-hmm. that.
I say that, but I'm still waiting on Martin to write the next book. So
good luck.
20 years later.
Yeah. Hey, hate to break it to you, Chris, but Sanderson might be finishing his books also.
I wish they might be better.
Oh man,
we might. I shouldn't say that.
Well, Era 2 is done. Era 2 for Mistborn's done now.
So I haven't read the last book in Era 2. Alan, stop me. Yeah. I'm reading through other things now.
Did you finish Elantris?
I'm moving very slowly because the trainings at Truist have been like mind numbing to listen to. It's just like, oh my God, can I just get on the floor and do the job, please?
I hear you. So, favorite character?
Oh.
Wait, who's the former Tinker?
Aram.
Aram laughing as he slices throats. And I'll say this, if there's any question, that wasn't me.
Ian, do you need a hug?
No. I was not the guy laughing, but I stood next to a guy laughing, and well, I love that guy. I'll just leave it at that. And he did many great things for his country.
Alan, I'm not going to steal your thunder because I know who your favorite person is. So fuck, I'm going to say.
One of the best battles in all the books, and he ain't even there. He's back picking daisies in left field.
Will be the Ashaman.
As a whole, that's fair.
As a whole.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Taim, just because, you know, he trained them all.
But Taim wasn't wearing the pieces on his collar that Rand gave him, right?
That's even better. He's like, you're not gonna sit here and title me and tell me I'm great. I already know I'm great.
Hey, you're a good number two. Great job of being number two.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm number one.
I ain't putting that shit on my collar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gollum was my favorite this year.
Sure. You can't pick yourself, Alan. Pick somebody else.
Pick someone else. Loyal. That's a real one.
Yes.
That is. I agree. Loyal went to battle and they don't even fight.
Yeah.
His people are not fighters.
But when they do, they throw down.
Yeah.
So, next time on the Will Reads, we'll be starting this honky, girthy book.
What's
that one called?
A Crown of Swords. And I was going to split the prologue up into two sections because it's so long, but we'll just do the whole prologue next time. It's about 2 hours in audiobook, 48 pages. So it's a little girthy, but...
That's
the prologue?
Yeah, it's a girthy
Jordan girthy loves his prologues.
Yeah, he loves his prologue.
Alan, is this prologue like Eye of the World prologue that is like, what the fuck am I reading? And eventually it makes sense. Or is it like montage to help us get where we're going?
It's multiple characters jumping around to kind of set the scene for.
Okay. So it's montage ish with multiple point of views. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So they're like mini chapters within the prologue to prep us for the rest of the book.
It also takes out like kind of the aftermath of Doom as well. That's kind of like
is the setup. It's like probably a year in the future.
All right. Ties up a few loose ends and then gets us going where we need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I like that. The prologue's where it's like, what the fuck did I just read? And it doesn't make sense for 16 books. Like, I don't need I don't need that in my life right now.
You mean like the one from the first book?
That's what I'm saying. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Someone just asked which one has the longest prologue. Let's see. This one is around. I think it's actually Crossroads of Twilight. Has the longest one.
It's like a book before you start the book.
Yeah, from this point on, they all have super long prologues.
That's good.
Actually, no. The next one's not that long. Winter's Heart is long. Crossroads of Twilight is long. Knife of Dreams is super. Knife of Dreams is long. That's the longest one. And Knife of Dreams is super long. Yeah, Knife of Dreams. So that's the longest one.
I feel like there's a giggity to be made there. I just don't know how to make the joke. Knife of Dreams, super long.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just say giggity.
So we'll do that next week, and we'll have a guest next week too, guys. So
can you say who?
Yeah, it's Vance from Bard of the Red Hand.
Ooh, yay!
So Vancey Pants is coming on. Excited about having Vance. So
what a great dude.
So in the meantime, until we record next time, you can find us in a lot of places like our website, thewillreads.com. Has links to all social media there. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those fun places. Also, you can find links to join our Patreon. You can get things like the live reactions and things like that to certain chapters. We've done a few of them now. We're going to continue to do those. for some chapters in this next book. Not the prologue, but we will do some more. Also, you can buy our merch. We have links to our merchandise, our store, lots and lots of t-shirts and frosted mugs and fun stuff there. So go check it out, write a review, find us wherever podcasts are found. And that's all I got, guys.
Until next time.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
Time rules.
I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time. Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering just the prologue of A Crown of Swords. Enjoy!